Well, good morning. Good morning. There we go. It's God's house. We can be happy and we can be a little loud if we want to. So, well, I'm thankful to be up here this morning. Thank you, worship band. Thank y'all for leading us in worship. That last song, it's just one of those songs where you can just keep singing. Just keep singing, God, You're So Good. I mean, why? Well, the song describes it because of what Calvary has done. See, without Calvary, there's no good. Nothing good for us. But God sent Jesus to redeem us from our sin. And when He redeemed us, we see good because of what He has done. The salvation that He has brought us causes us to sing, God, You're so good. God, You're so good. Well, today I get the privilege and the honor of introducing our graduates. We'll do that here in a minute, but I serve as their high school minister, so I have been with them for the past couple of years. Some of them I've known since, one of them I've known since seventh grade, but the other one I'd known through family, and then the other one I was introduced by, because her mom is the children's minister here. So these students all kind of have a unique relationship with me and how I kind of know them, but today, before we dive into honoring them and celebrating them, I'm reminded that, you know, some parents out there, y'all are sad that your baby's graduating. You're happy. I know mine was just happy that I graduated. I'm being honest, like, it was a struggle my last 2 years of high school. I was not a good student, so for me to get that diploma, everything was okay. I don't know where you're at, Mom and Dad. I don't know how y'all are feeling. If you got brothers and sisters, I know Will is the baby. So Will is the one being honored amongst his family, being the baby. And Brenna's the oldest and Madison's the oldest. So we kind of get a little glimpse of all these students and what they bring. And some of y'all have known these students. They've been here since they were little. Some of y'all have seen these students grow up. And some of y'all have taught them, and this is kind of off the cuff, but if you have taught them in Sunday school, VBS, school, or whatever, if you have taught them anyway, can you raise your hands or show us? So yeah, and I'm one of them. Like, we've had, this is what's beautiful, is that when we see that it's years of people pouring into y'all, people taking time to study God's Word and to teach y'all God's Word. Why? So that y'all will go into this world and be difference makers. I remember as a kid, I don't know if y'all had favorite books growing up. I know I wasn't a reader. I'm not a reader. But I had books growing up that I loved. One of the books that I grew up reading a lot of was Choose Your Own Adventure. I don't know if anybody out here remembers those books. Basically, you read a page, and then it told you, go to this page for this to happen, or go to this page for this to happen. You had to choose which adventure you wanted to take. Well, I can tell you this, I never made it out alive. I always found the page that where my life was over, like the character in the book dies. And I've always, that was kind of my, those books were my favorite, but I never won anything. I never got to the end where I finished the adventure. Well, today we're looking at a story where one man adventure, or I would even go a little bit more deeper than that, it was a journey God had put him on. And we see that this man had experienced a lot in his lifetime. He saw struggles. He saw victories. He conquered many people. He saw the promise in the end. Today, we'll be talking about Joshua. Joshua was an Old Testament, he was a man in the Old Testament. He was the man that would follow Moses. He would lead the people to conquer the land in Canaan, and then they would go into the promised land. Joshua would lead them into the promised land. But we see a story in Joshua. He is nearing the end of his life. We have just seen that Joshua will give his second farewell to the people of Israel. They're at a place called Shechem. Shechem is very important to the Jewish people, and especially in the Old Testament, because Shechem is where God promised Abraham that his descendants would inherit the land. We see that in Genesis 12, 6 and 7. Jacob built an altar there in Genesis 33, verse 20. In chapter 8 of Joshua, Israel reaffirmed their commitment to God with Joshua. And we see that in chapter 8 of Joshua. So Shechem is a place, is a holy place for the people of Israel, because it calls them back to so many memories. And that's what Joshua is doing in Shechem. In the very first 13 verses, we see that God's speaking through Joshua and telling Joshua of all that that God has done through them from Egypt to this point, and how God has saved them, how God was faithful to them. So we see in Joshua 24 and verses 14, "Therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods of your ancestors. Worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourself today, which will you worship? The God of your ancestors worship beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." Joshua lays it out to the Israelites. He lays it out plain and clear. You can only serve one. You will either serve the gods of this earth, or you will serve the living God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, the living God that parted the Red Sea for you to walk through, the same God that would bring manna down from heaven to provide for your needs, the same God who has been faithful day in and day out. You either serve him or you don't. This is a word that we will see used 15 times in this text. To serve God means to fear him. To serve God means to obey him. To serve God means to worship only him. It means to love him and fix your heart upon him, obeying him because you want to and not because you have to. We see three things in Joshua's address to the people. As he is challenging these Israelites, because we see that even these Israelites were worshiping the gods of Egypt. We still see some that were going back to those gods of long ago. But Joshua reminds them, the God that saved you, the God that brought you out of slavery, the God that redeemed you, that God's the only one worth worshiping. There's no other gods. No other gods have done what the God has done, what Yahweh has done. Those gods are fake. Those gods have nothing. But God redeemed them. And the first thing we see that Joshua addresses is to fear God. Ecclesiastes 12:13. "When all has been heard and the conclusion of the matter is this, fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity." Church, it's pretty simple in following Jesus. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's simple. Fear God, keep his commands. That's following God. That's following Jesus. Fear him, follow his commands. Because that's what Solomon writes. He says, I can write it all. I can write an entire book on following Jesus, but it comes back down to this. Two simple things. Fear and obey. Fear and obey. Our fear comes from our salvation. And when we think of fear, when we talk about fearing God, it's not you fearing God that he's around the corner going to jump out and scare you. That's not fear. The fear that we see in the Bible is reverence. It's knowing who God is and knowing what he is not. God is not a genie in a bottle to give you what you want. But our God is Yahweh. Our God is creator. Our God is the beginning and the end. Our God is the sustainer of all life. He is the beginning and the end of all things. Our Father in heaven is eternal. He is holy. He is righteous. We fear God because of what he's done. We give him reverence. Because we didn't deserve salvation. We didn't deserve his love. Because we were the ones that sinned against him. We were the ones that turned our back on him. But yet, in God and his infinite love, sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. That's why we're called to be fearful of God. Being reverent towards him. Deuteronomy 10, 20 through 22. "You are to fear the Lord your God and worship him. Remain faithful to him and take oaths in his name. He is your praise and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awe-inspiring works your eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt, 70 people in all, and now the Lord your God has made you numerous, like the stars in the sky. See, God is reminding the people through Moses, you just went down there with 70 in all. But look how God has blessed you. Look how God has made you a nation. Look what God has done. Remain faithful. Praise Him only. God went to the extreme to save you. And when you recognize it wasn't about us, that He chose us and He redeemed us, it should give us great awe. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we start talking about worship. This next thing that Joshua will address is to worship God and God alone. Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. See, we worship because God is merciful. We worship from the viewpoint, if it wasn't for His mercies, we would have no reason to worship Him. God's mercies are new every morning. His eternal love, I'm reminded of His eternal love, His eternal grace, His everlasting peace, the eternal joy, the saving faith, the comfort, the strength, the wisdom, hope, patience, kindness, honor, glory, righteousness, security, eternal life, forgiveness, all of these things and much more. When we recognize all these things that are from God's mercy, the knowledge that is from that and the understanding, it should pour forth praise and thanksgiving. In other words, we should cause us to worship Him and Him alone. Everything He does should cause our worship to come out of us. We shouldn't sit silent. When God is doing something, He deserves the praise. That doesn't mean we give the praise when it's only good things. What does Job do? His life comes crumbling around him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, yet blessed be the name. Our praise doesn't come from when God does good things. Our praise is everlasting. It's all the time because God is good. Even when we don't feel like this world is, He is still good. You worship because God wants all of you. That we see what Paul is talking about. God wants you to present your bodies as living sacrifices. He wants you to sacrifice yourself to Him. Presenting our bodies means giving God all of ourselves. The reference to our bodies here means that all human faculties and our humanness, our hearts, minds, hands, thoughts, and attitudes are to be presented to God. In other words, we are to give up control of these things and turn over to Him. Just as a literal sacrifice was given totally to God on the altar, we renew our minds daily by cleansing them of the world's wisdom and replacing it with true wisdom that comes from God. We worship Him with a renewed and cleansed mind and not our emotions. See, God wants all of us. All of us, not just part of us, just a little bit. God wants everything. He wants all of us to be devoted to Him. We see that we are to die daily to ourselves. That is to sacrifice ourselves. We are to be holy and pleasing to God. How are you holy and pleasing? You're set apart. You don't look like this world. You look completely different. To be holy, to be set apart, You don't act like, you don't talk like, you don't think like this world. You're of a heavenly mindset. Your home is not here, but your home is in heaven. When we are fully His and we have sacrificed ourselves to Him, we're not concerned about this earth, but we are concerned about what heaven is about. We're talking about heaven. We're living this lifestyle that glorifies God in the place that we will go one day. So we present our bodies. We die to ourselves daily. We don't give in to the wisdom of this world. I don't know if we understand sometimes, but this world is broken. That's probably the best way you can put it. It's broken. It's evil. There's nothing good in the world except God and God alone. And so we worship him for that, that he is good, that he renews our minds daily. When we turn to him and we commit our lives to him, we see him do incredible things. And that's the third thing that we see Joshua address the people. Commit your lives. Commit to following God. We see Matthew 22, 37 to 38. He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is Jesus' words. Jesus is saying this. This is the greatest and most important command. In this story, we see that three times the people affirmed their commitment to Joshua, that they will serve and obey the Lord. Well, how many of y'all remember the Maury show, when he would have these people on and they would read the paternity test and all that, those talk shows. Do y'all remember those? Familiar with those? Okay. Well, Maury Povich, he would have on and they would do a DNA test and they would say, well, the results show that you're not the father. Well, we have a collection of books that says what these people said was a lie, because they would not affirm their commitment to God. But we will see time and time and time and time again where they would worship God and they would worship other idols. And then God would judge them. There's a whole book on it in the next book after Joshua called Judges, where we see this roller coaster ride of worshiping God, worshiping other idols, and God judging them for it. There's no different than us, though. How many times do we affirm our commitment to God, saying, God, I will worship you and you alone. And then the next day, we're so consumed by this world. We're worshiping the things of this world. Or we're worried about the things of this world. God just said, trust me, and I will make your path straight. Joshua will tell the people in verses 19 and 20 the consequences of following God. God doesn't take lightly your commitment to him and not following through with it. God wants to be the only God in your life. God wants to be worshipped only by him, by you. God wants your worship. Don't be distracted. Don't be entertained by this world, but be following him. You can't obey God and obey this world. There's no two ways about it. You either obey God or you obey the world. It's all or nothing. Students, you're walking into a world that says, obey me or suffer. Our high school students are walking in a world like that today. You bow down to the idols of this world. Bow down to what we say is good. Bow down to what we say you should be worshiping. And if you don't, you're an outcast. If you choose to follow God, you will be an outcast. And I believe Jesus promised that. Jesus promised we would be outcasts. Jesus promised that we would be hated. Jesus promised that you would not be liked by this world. Because our faith does not resemble this world. Students, you've got to stand firm in your commitment to God. This, wherever you're going, is going to call for you to worship the idols of this world. Don't worship the idols. Don't worship the idols because God wants your worship. But don't worship the idols because they're false. They're empty. There's nothing to worship. They'll just be wanting you have more. That's what we got to see from this world. This world never just gives us enough. This world keeps calling us back. I got something else for you. I got something else for you. I got something else for you. This will make your life a lot easier. This will make your life a lot better. This will take stress out of your life. See, the idols of this world will keep you longing for the next. See, with God, what does it say he is? What did he say to the woman at the well? Drink from me and you'll never thirst again. Once you had God, that's all you want. You don't want anything else. And that's what Joshua's trying to tell them. We've seen how faithful God was in the desert. We saw how faithful he was in Egypt. We saw how faithful he was when we had nothing. He loved us. He took care of us. He saved us. He brought us out of slavery and into freedom. We commit our lives to God and not other things around. But we see two defining characteristics of God in this story. God is holy. We know that. But what else? jealous. We serve a jealous God. Sometimes we don't like that word because maybe we don't like jealous people, or maybe that we've been jealous in our past, and maybe the negative connotation that comes with that. But God's a jealous God. God wants our worship. God's not going to share it with other people. It doesn't matter how you feel about God, whether you think the Bible is fully correct, or if you find errors in the Bible, God is holy. God doesn't need my opinion. God's word is true. It's whether I submit to it or not. And students, you've got to submit your lives to His word. If you believe it's true, live it out as true. Don't waver. Don't be tossed to and fro. Don't let the world come in and give you a false gospel. Be aware of the devil's schemes. Be aware when the enemy's trying to put lies into your head. Be aware. Be on guard. Watch out. Your commitment to God is not based on what we say or what we have deemed your walk to be. Your commitment to God doesn't mean anything if you're not fully obeying His truths. We can be jerks, or we can obey His truths. Fully obeying His truths means you love people, but man, you tell them the truth. You don't shy away from it. You don't bend your knees to it. You fully obey it, even when you don't understand it. Jesus wants all of us. Joshua makes a declaration at the very end of verse 15. And students, this is what I want to leave you with. When you go off to college, and when you get married one day, and if you have kids, and if you experience the American dream, Joshua leaves us with something. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Joshua says to the people, y'all can worship whoever you want to, but for me and my family, I'm worshiping the only one that matters. I'm worshiping the only one that redeems. I'm worshiping the one that brought me out of Egypt. It brought my ancestors out of Egypt. I'm worshiping the one that created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. I'm worshiping the one that saved Abraham's son from being sacrificed. I'm going to worship the one that provided manna. I'm going to worship the one that said He will send His son to redeem us of all our sins. I'm going to worship that God. I'm going to worship Yahweh, the Alpha and the Omega. Joshua says, basically, we will fear only God, worship Him alone, and commit our lives to following Him. That's what Joshua says. Students, you're walking into a battleground. You're leaving one battleground, going into another battleground. Be on guard. Put on the full armor of God. Commit your lives to following Him. And when this world tries to throw truth in your face as truth, when you commit your lives to following Him, you know what truth is. Truth is not what they say, but truth is what God has declared. And if you're struggling with it, struggle with it. Obey it. God desires our absolute devotion, church. Church, understand this. You can't serve two masters. God is either your master or this world is. You will either fear this world or fear God. You will either worship this world or worship God. And lastly, you will either commit your life to this world or you will commit your life to God. That's our choices. We will serve God or we will serve the devil. And church, my fear is that somebody in here doesn't know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. Actually, the stats will back that up. There's probably people in here that don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. You have come to church your whole life. You have read your Bible. You have prayed. You have worshiped. But you've never committed your life to following Jesus. You never bowed down and surrendered your life. You never You never died to yourself. You're not redeemed. You're not set apart. Church, if that's you tonight, if that's you today, God, church, I would ask that if somebody doesn't know Jesus, please come find me. Come find Pastor Mark, and we would love to talk to you about following Jesus. Maybe you're not a part of a church. Maybe it's time to get involved. Maybe it's time to get off the bench and get in the game. But church, understand that these students are walking into a battlefield just like you walk into a battlefield every day. You must prepare yourself for battle and fight off the devil. We fight from victory. We fight from the empty cross and the empty tomb. We don't fight from defeat, but we fight knowing that death has been defeated and death no longer has its sting. We fight from victory. I'm going to introduce these students to y'all, and I'll kind of give you a background on kind of where they're going and what they're doing with their lives. So if I could have Brenna Champion come on up first. Brenna is graduating from Hayden High School, and she's going to Wallace State. You're going into nursing. And Brenna's, we had them fill out a form to kind of give us where they're going to college and whatnot. One of them says, will you be playing any sports? And the answer is absolutely not. So Brenna is not a sports person. She's not, she doesn't like running. So when we do beach camp and we have games and she has to play, it's the meanest looking face she has. She's like, I don't want to do this. And is that pretty good? Okay. So here's this. I'm going to give you a hug. And you stand right here and we'll call up the next one. Madison Hardegree. Madison graduates from Mortimer Jordan High School. She is attending Samford University, where Pastor Mark is a faculty member there. And she will be working on your teeth in the future. She's going for a doctor of dental medicine. So if you got any bad teeth, she's going to tell us. So I got bad teeth. So here's yours. I love you. Thank you for everything. Our next one, Will Vines. Will is graduating from Hayden High School. He's attending Knox College in Illinois. He is going to be going for an undergraduate in biology, followed by an accelerated master's in nursing. Wow, all right. And on top of all of that, he will be playing football and baseball for Knox College. So Will will be busy. He don't know what busy is until he starts playing college athletics, and his world is going to be busy. So be safe. We love you, and here's your gift, buddy.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, anytime, buddy. These students graduating, they're embarking on an incredible journey. I'm thankful for each and every one of them. This September will be 3 years since we've been here. Like I said, I've known Will since he was in seventh grade. I coached Will in football. Will was probably about 4'11", maybe. Had a squeaky little voice, and you know, didn't stop talking, which now it's just a taller version of that. I love Will. Will, he does not sing for us on Wednesday. Will leads prayer for us every Wednesday night before we start service. He'll take prayer requests and then he'll pray. It's something I asked him to do, just kind of be a leader in our student ministry. So some of these younger boys coming up will see this and take that same role. So ask Will to do that. Madison, I've known Madison since I've been here. Madison is my favorite Mortimer Jordan volleyball player. She's my only one, so and she's got that special honor of being held up there. But I know nothing about volleyball. I absolutely know zero about it. Going to her volleyball game is the first one I went to, and I still don't understand volleyball. It's not like baseball, where it's a little bit more simpler, like if you touch it and it doesn't go. It's just weird rules, but I got to go watch Madison play and enjoy watching her play and hear her mom screaming and shouting and cheering her on. And I got to see Madison do some incredible things. And she's in going to Samford, and she's determined, just to say that. She has put in the work to go, and so she's going. to Sanford this coming fall. Brenna, I've known Brenna. Her cousins used to go to my last church, and so I kind of got introduced to Brenna that way. But when I came here, Brenna was one of the first ones I talked to just because I was kind of familiar with her. And Brenna has been one of, if not, now all three of them have been, but Brenna has been one that every Wednesday night she's there. She's helping me run media. She's helping do other stuff. Her mom and dad are helping, just along with these other mom and dads, have been just involved in these lives. So be praying for these students. They're embarking on an incredible journey, and God's going to do incredible things for them, but the enemy will be fighting them. So just be praying for them and the journey they'll be on. So y'all go ahead and have a seat, and then I'll ask the band to come up, and we'll have a song of invitation. And after this, after the invitation, the students will come back up to the front, and I'll ask the moms and dads of these graduating seniors to be up front with us, and we'll have a prayer for them, prayer for y'all, and then we'll be dismissed after that. But like I said, if y'all have any prayer needs, if y'all need anybody to pray for you, please come find me, come find Pastor Mark. Love to talk to you, pray with you, help you in any way we possibly can. And if you don't have a church home, this is a church that we would love for you to be a part of, to get plugged into, to start serving. But as this band leads us, if you have a need, if you need to pray, this altar's open. Please come forward, and we'll help you in however we can.